way.
Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We are coming to you from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, D.C. I am Kip Stube. This evening, we are talking to Zimbabweans living in the diaspora amid political tensions back home. Namhla sixoxa labadabuka eZimbabwe abahlala kwamanye amazwe ngempilo yabo. Bazabuyela na ekhaya kumbe haji ngesikhathi kuxokozela kwele Zimbabwe kulandela ukhetho oluqhutshwe lonyaka. Before we discuss this issue, let's hear what is happening in the United States of America. For the first time in U.S. history, a speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, who is second in the presidential line of succession, has been removed from office. Facing a challenge from his own party, Republican Kevin McCarthy failed to remain speaker by a vote of 216-210. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
For what purpose does an extraordinary moment in American politics. For the first time ever, the leader of the U.S. House of Representatives has been removed from power.
Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
Republican Representative Matt Gaetz forced a vote on removing McCarthy, expressing frustration at McCarthy's leadership after he failed to pass a government funding bill last week with conservative spending priorities.
I think $33 trillion in debt is chaos. I think that facing a $2.2 trillion annual deficit is chaos. I think that not passing single-subject spending bills is chaos.
McCarthy told reporters he would not run again for the role of speaker.
I can continue to fight, maybe in a different manner. I will not run for speaker again.
But the slim Republican majority in the House meant that Gaetz needed only 8 Republican votes, along with all Democrats, to oust McCarthy, who faced increasing criticism since agreeing to a debt ceiling deal earlier this year with President Joe Biden.
Many of us had begged the speaker, pleaded with the speaker repeatedly to utilize the debt ceiling to leverage spending cuts and reforms. But instead, he negotiated an unlimited increase to the debt ceiling.
Although the majority of Republicans voted to keep McCarthy in leadership.
Think long and hard before you plunge us into chaos, because that's where we're headed if we vacate the speakership.
It was the votes of Democrats uniting to remove McCarthy that made the difference.
We're not voting in any way that would help save Speaker McCarthy.
He is not trustworthy, and I think you can see that within his own caucus, but you can certainly see it the way he's treated us and the American people.
The historic upheaval in the U.S. House comes at a key moment. The short-term government funding deal did not include U.S. aid to Ukraine.
All the House leadership is supportive of continuing to help Ukraine. And the vast majority of House members on the Republican side are in support of continuing to help Ukraine. There's a small number of very vocal, a small minority of vocal members who are pushing back on that, but they don't represent their party. They don't represent their leadership.
U.S. lawmakers will hold elections next week for a new Speaker of the House, the person who is second in the presidential line of succession. Catherine Gibson, VOA News.
In Zimbabwe, a member of the opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, Sengezo Chabangu, claiming to be the interim secretary general of the party, has recalled some members of parliament and councillors. He says they were imposed by the Nelson Chamisa leadership in the 2023 general elections. Chabangu was a CCC cluster leader for Pinga District in the run-up to the harmonized polls, said All the recalled lawmakers, including Eric Kono of Emakandeni, Pasho Sibanda of Katu Park, and others, were not nominated by citizens in the grassroots selection process.
I have the authority and the power bestowed on the interim constitution that we recall people, number one. Number two, we are restoring internal democracy because we realize that we are now off people with picking individuals that are closer to them as a candidate. So we're saying, no, this must stop. We want to take this party back to its founding values and practice which this party was formed. So on those basis, this is why we have taken this path, that people who were elected, who were chosen by the people as their representatives, should be given an opportunity to lead people. But under these circumstances, we realize that we have put people in parliament who were imposed. We have put people in senate who were imposed. We have put people in councils who were imposed. And we are saying, as an institution, as a democratic party, let's restore that. So this is an internal imbalance.
Yes, we hear you, but the party is saying they don't know you. They're saying you are just a fake person, and you're not in the structures, and you're just recalling people, you know, on your own, without consulting them.
I'm afraid if those who say they don't know me, then where do I derive the power to recall people? If I can recall people and then you still deny that you don't know me, then you wait and see the result. Because we have got the power, we have got the authority. We are deriving our power from the interim constitution which we have submitted. So we are the people's representatives. Anybody who has got a challenge, I don't need to be known by anybody. But I have been into this strategy since 1999. Anybody who feels challenged by the position that I've taken, he should go to court.
That was Sengezo Chabangu, who claims to be the Interim Secretary General of the Citizens Coalition for Change. We also spoke with the Gift Ostello Siziba, Interim Deputy Spokesperson of the Citizens Coalition for Change.
It came to our attention that there are letters circulating on the internet perpetually coming from the Citizens Coalition for Change, as led by Advocate Nelson Chamisa. We want to reject the so-called letters. They don't belong to the Citizens Coalition for Change. We have not effected any recall of our councillors and members of parliament. All our deployees are continuing with the responsibility given to them by the people. The citizens movement has not done any recall of members of parliament or councillors. The individuals who are imposters by ZANU-PF are trying by all means, clutching on straws to make sure that they destabilize our objectives and agenda in parliament, and of course effect a de facto one-party state and a de facto majority in parliament, because ZANU-PF doesn't have a two-thirds majority, and that's why they're invoking all these strategies and tactics to try and destabilize and disorganize our responsibilities and of course our representatives in parliament and in local authorities. We have obviously initiated measures to make sure that there is no such an effect of the so-called letters in terms of the officials that were given mandate by the people of Zimbabwe. They said individuals don't belong to the Citizens Coalition for Change. Neither are they members of the citizens' movement. Thank you very much.
That was Gift Ostello Siziba, Interim Deputy Spokesperson of the CCC. Elsewhere, a 29-year-old woman from Zimbabwe is a social media sensation after making a name for herself as one of Europe's top truck drivers. The achievement is one for the books for Sikanyisi Wetazwichia, who was once a maid in Zimbabwe's capital, Harare. VOA Zimbabwe Services, Ivan Zeninga reports.
Popularly known as Lady Trucker Zim, Sikanyisi Wetazwichia is a proud trucker in Warsaw, Poland, where she now lives and works. With over 100,000 Facebook followers, the former maid turned 8 moving equipment operator says she is proud of her achievement.
I started as an housemaid in Waterfalls, Harare, and then I decided I have to upgrade myself from a housemaid to an earth-moving machine operator. So by that time, it wasn't easy for me to raise like about $600 for ethnographic certificate by myself, because my salary was very little.
Tajichka explains that she didn't want to settle as an earth-moving equipment operator and decided to pursue a training course in the male-dominated field of driving.
From that time, my life started to change. And I started working as an operator, operating earth-moving machines like a front-end loader, series roller, excavator. You know, it was good, because that was my wish, to change myself to someone.
To many men and women who have followed her journey, Tajichka has been an inspiration. Fellow Zimbabwean Hope Magara from Midlands, who also now lives in Poland, says she is now a trucker thanks to Tajichka.
I worked with the Skanyiswe Tajichka. She was also my first driver. She was teaching me a lot of things, like tachograph, filling CMR, loading and unloading. Skanyiswe Tajichka is a hard worker. She's very kind. I like her character. I also wish young girls out there who also wants to join, be truck drivers, that there's nothing hard about driving a truck. You guys can come and join us. If I can do it, you can also do it.
Another Zimbabwean, Zamani Hlotlo, is already working as a truck driver in South Africa, but is planning to join Tajichka in Poland. Through her Lady Truck Azim Facebook page, Tajichka has been helping many like Hlotlo process documents to work abroad.
I applied in Poland for a job there, but through the inspiration of one young lady named Skanyisiwe Tajichka. She is a young lady from Zimbabwe, a truck driver there. She's quite good. Many companies are benefiting indirectly from her. If they knew, she is a treasure. She's just good.
As a single mother of two, Tajichka says she wants to see more women succeed in anything they pursue by staying true to their dreams.
You have to find what you are passionate about and go for it. No matter what your goal is, there is no one sure path to success. So know where you want to get to. Believe in yourself. Take calculated risk. Capitalize on opportunity and work really hard.
For now, Tajichka has no plans to leave the trucking business anytime soon and hopes to continue inspiring others. Evans Zeninga for VOA News in Washington.
Thank you very much, Evans, for that piece. Back to our topic of the day. Many Zimbabweans living in the diaspora say they are worried about the political situation back home following the holding of disputed elections in August this year. The opposition CCC insists that fresh elections should be conducted, while ZANU-PF maintains that they were free, fair and credible. Many observers, including the SATIC mission, noted that the elections fell short of regional and international standards. With this impasse, many Zimbabweans living in the diaspora are worried about their future. What's in store for them in the near future? Let's take a very, very short break. Stay tuned.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Welcome back to our show. Please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Joining us right now to discuss this issue, we have Mr. Kennedy Mandaza of ZANU-PF, Mr. Butler Tambo, former director of the Center for Public Engagement, and Ms. Barbara Kwangwara of the Opposition Citizens Coalition for Change. So we'll start with you, Mr. Kenneth Mandaza. You're one of the people who lives in South Africa. So right now we know we are visiting UK. So tell us about your future outside Zimbabwe. How does it look like, taking into account that, you know, there's some kind of political turmoil back home? Mr. Mandaza.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, my life is in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And most of the things and where I stay most of the time is in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
I've stayed in the diaspora for quite some time, and I'm quite aware of the challenges that people go in the face while they're in the diaspora. But with regards to the question that you have just asked, the future of the people that are in the diaspora, with the experience that I've had in the, for the time that I've been in Zimbabwe, this is an option moment for those who have acquired their wealth to go and invest in Zimbabwe, given the plethora of opportunities that are there. There are people that are saying that it is not possible to go because of the alleged disputed elections. But if we look at what happened on the 23rd, and even before the 23rd of August, you will see that the country was peaceful during and even before the elections. And even now as we speak, the country is peaceful. The people are conducting their business in the country without any intimidation, without any fear.
But right now, Mr. Mandaza, right now we see that there are some alleged abductions that are going place, you know. So let's put that into account, you know.
Yes. Like you rightfully said, they are alleged abductions. We have heard the story of alleged abductions for a long time now. And these are theatrics that people in the opposition many a times are found involved in order to send out a particular narrative that suits the agenda that they have. I stay in Zimbabwe, and I can assure you that currently there is peace, and people are conducting their business freely. And the freedoms that many people would want to experience, they are there, they are enjoying them. And as a result, those who peddle the issues and the notions of abductions and other things, they need to go into the country and see it for themselves. On the other hand, those who are disputing the elections, they had the opportunity to go to the courts, they had the opportunity to air their grievances so that there could be a redress if there were anomalies that were found.
Yes, let me.
But they did not take that course. As a result, we need to move on with the country's business.
Yes, yes, let me hold you there. So let's go to Ms. Barbara Kwangwara of the Opposition CCC. So, Ms. Kwangwara, you can hear what Mr. Mandaza is saying, but maybe you've got another opinion there. Go ahead. Ms. Kwangwara, can you hear me? Papula Kongwara, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Sora was on mute. Thank you. Thank you so much, Gibbs, for this opportunity, for inviting me to this program.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Zimbabwe, all over the world. Maybe before I respond to what Mr. Mandaza has just said, Gibbs, you asked about the life in the diaspora, how we are coping and how this sham election has impacted us, people in the diaspora.
Yes.
What I can safely say, Gibbs, most people were eager to go back home and most people were looking forward to an election which was going to be free and fair, and most people were so disappointed when this sham election was rigged. And we all know that that the election was not free and fair, and we all know that President Chamisa won the election. And because ZANU-PF has got the power of controlling all the institutions, including ZEC, they can do whatever they want. So us in the diaspora, Gibbs, we're looking at a situation whereby the diaspora vote was going to be promulgated, because we've waited for this for a long time, and ZANU-PF does not want to hear about this diaspora vote because they know most people are in the diaspora because of they ran away from the situation back home, the economical situation, the political situation. Most people in the diaspora, they are economic and political refugees. Gibbs, and also maybe to shed light, I think I have to highlight this. As you are aware, most people that are coming into the diaspora with the care worker visa, they ran away from the economy and they thought kuti zvavo zvanaka, but Gibbs, tell you what, the majority of these workers, they are living in squalid conditions. They are being ill-treated. They paid lots of monies towards the certificate of sponsorship, which they were not even supposed to pay. After paying, they've got no jobs. And most of the employers that employ them are Zimbabweans. They are being exploited by their own people in the diaspora. The Zimbabweans in the diaspora are exploiting these workers, and I am involved in representing these workers. I'm working with them because, as you know, I'm also a trade unionist. So I'm helping them, encouraging them to join unions. They are, they are working under modern day slavery. And so, happy that we've managed to make the government aware, because it was not aware. They were even scared to report the cases because they were threatened with the deportation. So think of people who sold their land, sold their houses, thinking they are coming to diaspora for greener pastures, and they meet such conditions.
So what I'm getting from you, Ms. Kwangwara, is that the future of most Zimbabweans is bleak. So let me get Mr. Patrick Tambo to chip in there. Just hold on, Ms. Kwangwara. Mr. Tambo, chip in there, sir.
Good afternoon, Zimbabwe. Good morning, Zimbabwe, depending on which part of the continent and which part of the world you are in. All right, thank you very much, Gibbs, for inviting me to this program. I think if we're looking at the diaspora and questioning whether Zimbabweans can go back and the like, I think the answer is a definite no at the moment. I think we all know that we've had such a situation before. I think 2008, when the unity government came on board, the reason why I'm raising the issue of the unity government back in 2008 is that we saw a lot of Zimbabweans were in the diaspora coming back home to try and invest, to try and get new jobs, to try and reset their future within Zimbabwe. I think that showed the commitment of the diaspora. That showed that Zimbabweans generally are patriotic in nature, and they would love to be in their own country and not necessarily to be living in foreign lands. I think Ms. Kwangwara also talked about the fact that people have to go through all the humiliation in the diaspora just to make ends meet and for them to be able to send something back home. But at the moment, the biggest challenge is, it's not only the issue of the elections. I can't say the elections were rigged or were not rigged, because I clearly do not have any evidence to support either of the claims. But what I can certainly say is, in terms of coming back home, it will be a while before Zimbabweans start coming back home. First of all, there is poor infrastructure. I'll give simple examples. For instance, right now, if somebody were to want to invest back in Zimbabwe, there is the issue of power generation itself. Even if you've got your small business, the fact that you now have to rely on generator power, you know, have to rely on solar for you to try and power some of the activities that you do is on its own a hindrance to somebody wanting to come to back to Zimbabwe. Number two, there are issues of volatility in terms of the currency itself in Zimbabwe currently as we're speaking. So you find that even if somebody were to want to do business and were to want to export, the fact that the policies are not in support of even exporters, somebody is not even sure that if they do their business in Zimbabwe, sell their products outside the country, will they be able to go to the Reserve Bank, pick up their money in Forex, and be able to continue with their business? So all those are hindrances that would make any Zimbabwean shy away from coming back home. And then, of course, there is the issue to do with even the education sector right now. Let's look at people who are being educated in Zimbabwe. Yes, we might want to talk about Zimbabweans as being some of the most educated in Africa mostly. But then the quality of education has really gone down, because what most private schools are teaching are things that other countries in the diaspora, government schools are actually teaching. So you realize that all that comes into play, and anyone who's in the diaspora considers all that the future of their children, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody were to be educated in Zimbabwe, what are the chances that they will get a job in Zimbabwe? Chances are almost close to nil. That's the reason why even those, the political elites and business magnates in Zimbabwe actually send their children to the diaspora to be educated in these countries, because they see more hope of a better schooling system, of a better education system outside the country, of which if things like that were to be fixed in the country, maybe people can start thinking about coming back. So instead of simply saying the diaspora should come back, maybe let's try and create employment for the people who are still in Zimbabwe, who have remained in Zimbabwe. After we've made and absorbed all the workforce that is in Zimbabwe, then we can start talking about those in the diaspora coming back home.
Thank you,
yes, they have the skills. Yes.
Thank you very much. Now, I'll give each person 1 minute in their native languages. So we'll start with you, Baba Mandaza. In Shona, what should be done then if Zimbabweans have to survive in the diaspora? 1 minute exactly.
Vanhu variku diaspora vanofanirwa ku ona kuti vagadzirira kudzokera kumusha, nekuti kuno vanenge vakauya kuzovhima ku diaspora. Kumusha vanhu vari kugadzirisa kuti zvinhu zviveko zviwanikwe, zvose zvinofanirwa kunge zviripo, dzingave nyaya dzanga dzichitaurwa dzemari, dzingave nyaya dzemaindustry magetsi, urongwa huripo hwehurumende hwekuti zvese zvinodiwa zvinge zviripo. Vision 2030 tofunga iri kufamba mune zvakarurama, asi chikuru chiri kutaurwa nevakuru ndechekuti nyika inovakwa nevene vayo. Saka isu vari kudiaspora tisi vene venyika iyoyo, tinokurudzirwa kuti nepatinogona ngatiuyei tibatsirane tivake nyika yedu. Hakuna imwe nyika yatinoti Zimbabwe,
iyo
Zimbabwe yega iyoyo.
Yes, siyabonga kakhulu ke Nkosazana Gwangwara, ngamafutshane 1 minute ma. Pho kwenziweni lapha ngoba kukhanya kulo hlupho la?
Ngikhuluma isiNdebele mbe.
Yeah, ngesiNdebele mama, isiNdebele. SiNdebele.
Okay, ngiyabonga Gibbs. Mina engingakukhuluma ukuthi okwakathesi abantu abasediaspora ukubuyela ekhaya ukuchitha isikhathi, ngoba ilizwe ukuze kube le investment kumele umkhonomi ube stable, kumele imali ibe stable. Kathesi kokathesi asiyila mali esingathi imali le ngeyethu, imali ethengayo, imali yethu eyiyokuthiwa ngeyethu, kayisathengi lutho Gibbs. So angeke ngisuke mina e-UK lama-pounds ami ngisithi ngiya-investa eZimbabwe ngiyethwa ngithengise nge-bond kumbe nge-RTGS, vela akuphumi. Okunye okumqoka ikuthi si continue si fighter for i diaspora vote, ukwenzela ukuthi khona si lathi sibe nelungelo lokuvota, ngoba umkhonomo okwakathesi Gibbs ubanjwe yithi thina abantu abase diaspora ukuthi iZimbabwe kuthiwa iyafunctiona yithi esikontributayo
kuyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyey
Ngiyabonga Shona.
Ifaka ukwanisa khona khona.
All right. Kulaba base diaspora into engabakhuthaza yona kwamanje ukuthi qhubekelani phambili lifunda, qhubekelani phambili lizama ukuzakha lina ngokwenu. Nxa kusenzeka imali ikhona ivuma kanjalo, hayi asakheni ekhaya, asakheni izindlu zethu ekhaya, asizame ukuqalisa amabhizinisi
ekhaya.
Okay.
That brings us to the end of our show today. We'd like to thank all our guests and of course you, the viewers and listeners. Signing off is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C. Good night.